Finally, with regard to quality, quality is never the primary argument for buying anything. Quality is a logical argument. People buy things emotionally, but quality is always based on logic. And the only time that we bring quality into the argument, some people say mine is the finest quality machine in the business. It doesn't matter. The only thing that the individual, the prospect, is interested in is, will it do the job for me? Is it adequate to do the job? A person can say that a Rolls-Royce is the finest quality automobile, but if all you need is a car to get back and forth from work, you don't need to buy a Rolls-Royce. Quality only comes into the argument when you are comparing your product at a certain price against another product at a certain price, and there are very definite reasons why the person should be concerned about quality. For instance, if you're selling a snowmobile to an Eskimo who's going to have to drive it on the polar ice cap, and if it breaks down, he's going to freeze to death, then quality is a very, very important consideration. If you're selling a Land Rover to someone who's going to drive it across the Sahara, it's very important that it be a quality vehicle, because if it breaks down, it can make an enormous difference. But if it's not necessary, then it is not a buying feature. In discussing quality features, you must always explain how they benefit the customer. In other words, when you discuss quality, you say, this is the benefit of this kind of quality. This is the reason why you should buy it. This is what it does for you. Remember that every customer's favorite radio station is WIIFM. What's in it for me? That's all they want to know, is what's in it for me? What's the benefit of what you're saying? What's the benefit of this quality? Every single customer is asking this question to every statement that you're making. They're always saying in their own mind, so what? We often find that salespeople will go on and on about how good their company is and how good their products are and what great people work for them and so on. But the customer's always asking, what's in it for me, with regard to what you're saying? And they're saying, so what, in response to what you're saying. So make sure that every single thing that you say to a prospect has a definite benefit in it for the customer, and you can never go wrong. The product must always be the most suitable for what the customer needs before quality enters into the equation. A perfect example is Japanese automobiles. Japanese automobiles are very finely made automobiles. They also tend to be ideal and appropriate for the majority of uses of people who use cars in our society. They also happen to have good fuel economy, and they also happen to have very reasonable prices. In addition to that, they're good quality. But the quality always comes after the utility has been demonstrated. So the quality of the sales presentation, the material in the sales presentation, the appearance of the salesperson extends to the quality of the product itself. Many people don't realize that 90% or even more of the contact that we will have with a company is the person themselves and the way they talk to us. That's why if a person is well turned out, well dressed, properly groomed, polished, and their presentation is professional and orderly and thought through in every single step, we naturally assume that the company is a high quality company too. If the person is sloppy, if their car is dirty, if their briefcase has got sandwiches and old socks in it, and they've forgotten their price list and they're not sure about the answer to this, then we naturally assume that the company is going to be sloppy too. So part of the quality of the sales presentation is the person themselves. That is why companies like IBM and Hewlett-Packard go through 5 and 6 and 7 interviews. They take people out to dinner, they meet their families, they interview them in groups and individually to make sure that they're the type of people that they want representing their company. Because they know that an enormous amount of the buying decision is going to be based on the quality of the people who are selling. Your job is to identify the basic and secondary needs that your product can satisfy, and then demonstrate this to the customer. By asking questions skillfully, somewhere along the way, the person is going to say, well, does it do this? Or what about that? Or does this include it in it? That is an indication, a Freudian slip, that that's what the person is interested in. Let's take the example of microcomputers. There's a lot of people selling microcomputers. Microcomputers are a very, very big business, growing exponentially, 20% a year. Yet most people who sell them improperly. They go in and they try to sell the small business owner on a machine that's going to do financial statements and VisiCalc and financial projections and so on and so forth, none of which small business companies ever use. We don't use VisiCalc, we don't use pie-shaped, graph-shaped bar charts, we don't use financial spreadsheets and things like that. What we do is we do basic communications with our customers, basic accounting, payables, receivables, monthly balances, general ledger, and so on. But even that isn't why we buy a microcomputer. Why we buy a microcomputer is to save money on administrative costs and to increase efficiency so we can get more business. And the very most successful salespeople of microcomputers come in to the office and say, for $350 a month, I can give you back $1,000. Do you think the person is not interested? Do you think that the prospect would not like to hear a little bit more about what the person has to say? Instead of coming in and saying, if you buy this machine, you can do all this technical, mathematical formulations, and it only costs you $350 a month. At that, it's only an expense. At $350 in exchange for $1,000, it's an investment, and an investment that pays off. And this is applicable to many products. The best salespeople of microcomputers concentrate all of their efforts on demonstrating the payoff of the machine once it's installed. How much money you're going to save or additional business you're going to generate as a result of having this piece of machinery. Once the person's convinced that they can enjoy those benefits, then the price becomes irrelevant, doesn't it? Then they'd be crazy not to buy one, wouldn't they? I mean, if you could pay $350 and get an extra $1,000 a month, you should buy 50 of them if you could use them, right? Well, this is what we mean in talking about focusing in on the key benefit. Your job is to identify the basic and secondary needs that your product can satisfy. And remember, as long as you're focusing all of your attention on the customer and what he or she wants or needs, you're selling professionally.